In a couple of days, sidewalks are going to fill up with ghouls and goblins looking for fun-sized Snickers bars and other trick-or-treat goodies. As they do, they'll parade past houses decorated with spooky Halloween imagery, jack-o'-lanterns, spiderwebs, fake tombstones, and bats. But do bats really belong in such a scary company? 12-year-old Ryan Cavender says no way. He's dedicated his young life to building and selling bat houses, donating the proceeds to bat conservation efforts. He tells GLT's Ryan Denham how he got started.
It was when I was watching an animal documentary on TV. They had a bat section on it, and I found out that they were endangered and that they were almost extinct at the time.
You know, boys often have their favorite animals. You know, that's pretty common. Dinosaurs, dogs, whatever. But why bats? What did you like about them?
I just thought it was kind of interesting that they're the only flying mammals and that they eat thousands of insects a night each. And I kind of thought that they were cute.
I've always thought that bats get kind of a bad reputation. Do you find that that's true? That bats, undeservedly get a bad rap?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's just because most people think they look really scary because a lot of the pictures that they get of bats are when somebody's holding them, and they don't like it when people hold them, so they kind of open their mouth and it kind of shows their sharp teeth and everything.
You said you think they look cute.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm personally intimidated by bats, but I've started to look at them a little differently just since learning about you. What are some myths and things that are not true that are floating around out there about bats that you find yourself debunking?
The biggest one is that bats are carriers of rabies and that all bats have rabies. That's actually not true because bats are not carriers of rabies, but they can contract rabies. But after 48 hours, they end up dying.
So what's the most interesting thing that you've learned about bats?
It's probably that there's bats in every part of the world except for Antarctica.
Okay, so what kind of bats are around here, around central Illinois?
Around central Illinois, the most common bats are the big brown bat and the little brown bat. But in central Illinois, there's also the gray bat and I think it was the tricolored bat.
What are some things that bats do for us? You've called them kind of a friendly neighborhood bat. So what are the services that our friendly neighborhood bats provide to us that we may overlook?
Beings as they eat thousands of insects a night. Most of those insects are mosquitoes and they eat a lot of the other pesky insects and everything.
That's pretty handy.
Yeah.
So if we didn't have bats, we would have a bunch more insects flying around our lives. Tell me about your bat houses. When did you make the first one?
The first bat house that I built it when I was 10. They look sort of like a wooden box with like an actual panel on the bottom, and then it's got a slanted roof to it. And they have, I don't really know how to describe it, but they have, like, lines kind of cut into them for the bats to hang on to. Grooves for it.
Oh, so they can hang inside of the house?
Mm-hmm.
How are they different from what people might think about when it comes to, like, a more traditional birdhouse or a squirrel feeding area they might have in their backyard? How is a bat house kind of different from a birdhouse?
Like, the best area to put a bat house is usually on a pole in a yard or on the side of a house. Because if a bat house is, if you hang it in a tree, it could, the like hawks and owls could kind of find out where the bats are coming from. And since hawks and owls and other birds of prey are natural predators of the bat, they kind of know like what time they would come out and everything, so they could downsize the population.
So these bat houses that you make, if someone buys them and puts them up at their house, does it attract bats, like new bats into the area, or is it just shelter for bats that may already be there?
It's more of a shelter for bats that are usually already there. And if you have bats in your attic, you could, like, if you have somebody remove them from your attic or anywhere in your house, you can bat-proof your house and then put up a bat house. So if they come back there, they can't get into your house, but they can go into the bat house.
You can bat-proof a house?
Yeah.
That's cool. What's that like?
So, like, filling in any small holes or anything, like if there's like a hole in a window, or you can like put a mesh there, or you could put some kind of screen so they can't get in through the hole, or like sometimes there's people who don't want them like on the bottom of their deck, so you can even put mesh down in front of the deck after the bats are removed from there. And that'll keep them from getting under the deck or anywhere.
What have you done with the money that you've raised through the bat house construction and some of the conservation work you've done?
Some of the money goes into building more bat houses, and the other part of the money goes to some of the bat conservations. So the number one conservation that I'm donating to right now is Bat Conservation International.
What kind of work do they do? Like, what does bat conservation, like, literally entail?
I think it was they did some of the research and stuff for like, ways they could prevent white nose syndrome. They also put money into educating the public.
So what are some of the threats that bats face? Why does there even need to be a kind of a conservation effort on their behalf?
Because of the white nose syndrome. It's like a fungal disease that kind of grows on their skin, and it blocks over their eyes. That's kind of the main reason that the bats are going extinct and are endangered.
How many bat houses have you made since you started?
I've built about 70.
So, Heather, I want to bring you into the conversation. You're Ryan's mother. What do you think of all this? Ryan's passion for bats and bat conservation and seeing this develop over the last few years. What do you think of this?
I think it's amazing. I mean, he first got the idea when he was 7. He did a bat project for the science fair at the local school that he was going to. And once he learned about the white nose syndrome and the endangered bats and things like that, he kind of ran with it. I was assuming that, you know, it was just a thought. We'd see if it played out. And then one day he talked to his grandpa and decided to go ahead and do it, and asked his grandpa if he'd help use the table saw and cut some of the wood for him. And ever since then, it's been a passion of his to just spread the word about what bats can do for us and how they help our environment and help the farmers and things like that. And everywhere we go, he will, you know, if he hears anything negative about a bat, he is sure to help try to correct that, to save them as much as possible.
Well, as a parent, that's a dream, is to see your kid be passionate about something.
It is.
Whatever that may be. And you certainly, that's what you're experiencing.
Yes, it's amazing. And this is, he actually has decided, after talking to a couple bat biologists when we went to an event down in Springfield. And he has decided already that he wants to be a bat biologist when he grows up, after he goes to college and stuff, and actually tour the world and try to help save bats even further than what he's doing now.
That's Heather Kavinder with her son Ryan. Ryan has built about 70 bat houses, with proceeds going to bat conservation efforts around the world. I'm Ryan Denham.
You can check out Ryan's bat house handiwork on Facebook. Just search for Bat Houses by RJC.